Good evening, everybody, or morning or afternoon, depending on when you're listening to this. This is Brian Newbert from GoldenBlack.com with a quick Golden Black Radio Express podcast following tonight's significant Purdue recruiting development that came in the form of four-star Rivals.com point guard Ethan Morton's commitment to Purdue. This is obviously a very significant addition for Purdue, coming from the number 43 player in the country, according to Rivals.com, and one of the best point guards in America. So figured I would just pull out the phone here, visit the Newbert podcast hut in the old residence here, and rip off this quick Golden Black Radio Express once again. Podcast brought to you by our friends at Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, First Source Bank, Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, and Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. Obviously, as I mentioned before, a really, really significant addition for Purdue here. One of the bigger on paper recruits, probably of the Matt Painter era at Purdue. Certainly one of the highest ranked, really kind of maybe only behind a Caleb Swanigan in terms of national prominence, in terms of players Purdue has landed under Matt Painter. But that's not the important part here from Painter's perspective, I'm quite certain. I know this was a player he absolutely coveted in the class of 2020. And a class shaping up to come together really, really nicely for Purdue here. You're seeing Purdue having accrued a lot of momentum on the recruiting circuit. A lot of that probably has to do with the NCAA tournament, this or that. But Purdue, regardless of what happened to generate some of this momentum, I think they really struck a chord with Ethan Morton very early in the process. I think, you know, the way Matt Painter recruits is not for everybody. But there is a certain percentage of guys out there that it's basically music to their ears, and guys who value things like relationships and value things like basketball substance, however you want to term it. And I think Ethan Morton was one of those guys. I think Purdue did a really good job. Matt Painter did a really good job, especially striking a really, really strong relationship with him right away. He was sort of, they're both kind of real basketball people, obviously, and Ethan Morton seems like a coach in waiting, because he's sort of that sort of Dakota Mathias school, where he's really immersed in basketball and really, really takes it very seriously, studies it, and I think that type of player is one Matt Painter is especially drawn to, and I think for that reason largely, in addition to a pretty significant skill set, that was part of the reason I think Painter was really drawn to Ethan Morton. And when some websites talked to Ethan Morton a couple weeks ago at a Nike tournament, he specifically mentioned that Purdue wants him to be a, quote, extension of the coaching staff. And I'm sure that was a big part of Painter's message to him, because he sees that sort of coach on the floor quality in him. But from a skill set perspective, you're looking at a guy who is 6'5" and a true point guard, a true point guard. One of the truest point guards Matt Painter has signed in his time at Purdue. And that's not a long list, because really, when you look at traditional point guard characteristics, really the only other two guys who really come to mind are Lewis Jackson and PJ Thompson. The common denominator between those two players is what? They were both probably 5'8", 5'9" tops. Ethan Morton, on the other hand, is 6'5" and long and tall, and obviously has Nojel Eastern type dimensions. He doesn't have Nojel Eastern's body. He has Nojel Eastern's height and length. And I think that can be a real advantage at point guard. But he is a very good shooter, for his position, especially whether it be pull-up jumpers, three-point shooting, whatever it may be. But he is an elite passer, an elite passer, and has a really good, by reputation, a really good feel for the game, a really good understanding of the game, and a pass-first, a true pass-first mentality. I've seen him play AAU a number of times, and to be honest with you, I can't really give you much on him from my own observations, because he played with a player named Kofi Cockburn for New York Renaissance on the AAU scene. Last year, Morton was playing up with the 17 and under division as a 16-year-old in the very competitive Nike EYBL, playing with a player named Kofi Cockburn, who was going to Illinois, and a very good big man, a very good physical presence. And Ethan Morton was perfectly happy to feed the post every time down because that was his AU team's strength. And you don't see that sort of play in AU very often. It is a very up-tempo game. It is a very guard-oriented game. Point guards often attack, attack, attack. They look for their shot. They look for their offense. They look for highlights, whatnot. Ethan Morton was perfectly content to feed the post every time down to try to give his team the best opportunity for each possession. And that's just a mentality you don't see very often in the grassroots game. And while it might have been relatively boring in the moment in terms of me actually getting to see what Ethan Morton can do from a skill set perspective, you also kind of have to look at that and say, hey, that's what this guy is made of here. That's pretty significant. He's willing to do that. He's willing to do the unexciting stuff. He's willing to defer to his team's matchup advantages. And that's what these guys all have to do in college. And we talk about skill sets so much, but it is so important that teams just play to their strengths. And when you have guys who understand that coming in, that is very significant. And I think that sort of substance is a big part of the reason why Matt Painter was really, really drawn to Ethan Morton, one of his, I'm sure, favorite players in this class. And really, a really significant get in the sense that, you know, Purdue has battled a little bit of a stigma, whether it's necessarily accurate or not. Matt Painter will tell you that he has always run his team through his best players, through his professionals in waiting. And the results from the entirety of his era at Purdue has bared that out. That being said, Purdue has had a lot of really good big men over the years, and they've played through those big men. And what that has done is created this perception that it is not a place to go if you're a guard. Purdue is not the most point guard driven offense in college basketball. Obviously, this isn't Kentucky with the dribble drive or anything like that. This is a motion offense, largely, where everybody's the point guard once the ball is passed off, everybody but the center typically. Everybody's got to make decisions. Everybody's got to pass. And you don't really see the assist numbers, the playmaking opportunities there for the point guard as much as it is for everybody else. This has created, you know, sort of a stigma, and other schools have been happy to use this against Purdue in recruiting again for guards, that that's not where you go if you're a guard. I think the significance of this past season lied in Purdue building its team around its guards, really featuring Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein, putting them in positions to make a lot of plays. And then when those guys obviously did what they did in March, captivated the nation doing it, I think that certainly was what Purdue needed to knock down kind of that wall that was kind of being built between them and really, really high-end guards and recruiting. That being said, I think Purdue struck such a substantive personal relationship with Ethan Morton early in the process. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, former assistant coach Greg Gary, who got really all this off the ground. He did a lot of recruiting in Pittsburgh from his days at Duquesne. And I think he coached at Pitt for a while too. I might be wrong about that. If I am, just kind of forget that I said that. But Greg Gary did a lot of recruiting in Pittsburgh, and he got Purdue in on Ethan Morton early. Matt Painter got involved, and you know, obviously the rest is history here. Purdue, from top to bottom and its staff, established a really good relationship with Ethan Morton, put a lot of time into recruiting him. Steve Lutz has been out to see him as well ever since Greg Gary left to become the head coach at Mercer. So Purdue, top to bottom with the staff, has done a good job putting a lot of time and effort into Ethan Morton, building a great relationship with him, and getting a really, really good player here. And kind of a, I don't want to say a breakthrough sort of recruit, because obviously Purdue signed a great guard in Etuan Moore, but this is the highest profile, most skilled point guard Purdue has probably signed in a very long time, if obviously the most of both things of the Matt Painter era, and that really bodes well you know, for the future, especially when you know it's going to be a guy who's going to be coachable, who's going to, you know, reflect all of what Painter wants in, you know, the sorts of teams he coaches and how he coaches them. Just really a situation where you don't really see a whole lot of reason to believe this isn't going to be a smashing success. When you know what the kid's made of, when you know how he's going to operate, when you know how good he is, there's really, it doesn't seem like a situation where there's really any way around him being good at Purdue. Good is relative. Good is a matter of scale as well. I mean, there's great and then there's good. I don't see a really low floor on this one. I just see this being a guy who's going to be a really big part of Purdue's future no matter what. And I think this is a continuation of a class of 2020 that is shaping up almost best case in a best case scenario manner. I think that, you know, Purdue's been on a lot of guards throughout the assemblage of this class thus far. I think, and it's my personal opinion, it is an educated opinion, however. I follow this stuff. I cover this stuff very closely. It is an educated opinion. But I think that 6 months ago, had you given Matt Painter a truth serum or something and just said, who are the guys you want in this class? I think the first two names out of his mouth, at least from a guard's perspective, would have been Jaden Ivey and would have been Ethan Morton. And Purdue now has both of those guys. And having just seen Jaden Ivey play the last couple weekends, I think Purdue has a potential star in its hands, a star it got committed before anybody else even had a chance to really recruit him or chose to really recruit him. And I think in Ethan Morton, Purdue has a guy everybody already knows about and knows is really good and just flat out won a national recruitment. And I think, you know, the significance of getting those guys is one thing. I think what it says in terms of when Purdue got them says something else. Purdue won these guys over emphatically, decisively, and got them to commit before Jaden Ivey. And just when I say got them to commit, understand that Purdue's not twisting arms here. Purdue's not, you know, there isn't any Chinese water torture going on here trying to get these guys to commit. There are no high pressure sales tactics here. These guys were won over, and Jaden Ivey committed a couple of days before he played his first game in the EYBL this spring. And EYBL is such that if you play well, that's good for like 6 or 7 offers right on the spot. And he could have played out the evaluation period. He could have gotten a hell of a lot more offers than he had. And who knows what he would have had to choose from when all was said and done. Didn't matter to him. Purdue won him over so decisively that he didn't even want to find out. I think that really says something about the job Purdue did recruiting him. Ethan Morton as well. He could have played out. He could have taken 8 more official visits to any number of places all across the country. Before he's even played a game in the summer, before he's really even had a chance to play in front of a national array of coaches who would be there watching him, decided he was sold on Purdue. And I think that just really speaks to the momentum Purdue has in recruiting right now. And it's going to extend to the class of 2021, too, I might add. Purdue is as hot in recruiting right now, as popular in recruiting as I think it's ever been in my 15 or so years covering this stuff. And I think a lot of that has to do with the on-the-court product, but also it has to do with, you know, sustained success. Purdue has a very good recruiting staff in place, and I think Matt Painter is doing the best job as a recruiter he's ever done in his time at Purdue, and the results, you know, sort of speak for themselves. But Purdue has a very, very high-level backcourt in place just in this class, and that says nothing about Isaiah Thompson and Brandon Newman from the last class, Eric Hunter from the class before that. Purdue's got a really good young set of guards coming up, and now some precedent in place in terms of Purdue building its team around guards. Now, obviously, the front court comes to the forefront here in this 2020 class. Purdue is in a great spot with one of the best centers in the country in Hunter Dickinson. There's a center in Evansville, Kieron Powell, who's really, really high on Purdue right now and doesn't have an offer yet. But if Purdue offers him, I think he's a top 100 sort of level player. Ben Carlson in Minneapolis is one of the better power forwards you're going to see in the country. And Purdue's in a great spot with those guys. And now it has two really good guards that it can sell those big men on. And that could really help them put together a 3-man class that is going to be, at least on paper, one of the better classes of the Matt Painter era. But I just think you can't overstate the significance of Purdue getting Ethan Morton, both from the magnitude of the recruiting win, him choosing Purdue over Michigan, Ohio State, and Indiana, among many others, Oregon, Virginia, all these other places. But also just the class Purdue is putting together here. Sustained success on the court seems to be leading to sustained success in recruiting. And, you know, you also can't tell me that all of the stuff going on in college basketball right now isn't reflecting well on Purdue, because people are starting to realize, hey, Purdue's got some real, you know, substance going on there. That is probably a place I need to take a little bit of a closer look at. I'm sure a lot of factors are sort of going into this recruiting success, but I do think in the case of Ethan Morton, Purdue did a great job just establishing a personal relationship, identifying him very early in the process as a guy they were going to want no matter what, and doing a really good job recruiting him. And obviously, the payout tonight was one of the most significant recruiting gets in recent Purdue history. You know, in terms of rankings and whatnot, it's really second only to Caleb Swanigan. Obviously, you know, Ethan Morton being 43rd in the country by Rivals.com, there's been the only player higher than that to this point under Painter, I believe. I'm getting a little fuzzy here on 2007 in my old age. I can't remember where Etwan Moore ended up, but the only one I can think of right now for sure ranked higher than Ethan Morton being 43 by Rivals.com would be Caleb Swanigan. And obviously very different players, but also very, very good players. So a really, really significant night for Purdue. I'm sure Matt Painter is thrilled to death to have this player in the fold, and we will see where things go from here with this 2020 class. But there's going to be a lot left to cover, both in terms of how Jaden Ivey and Ethan Morton are playing this summer, but also how Purdue's going to finish off what could be a very good three-man class. So I'll be at the Nike UIBL in Westfield this weekend. We'll have coverage throughout the weekend, both on Ethan Morton and Jaden Ivey, as well as some of Purdue's remaining targets, most notably Hunter Dickinson, the top 30 nationally center who Purdue would love to finish off its class with here. So be sure to stay tuned throughout the weekend to goldenblack.com for much more. So for goldenblack.com, this is Brian Newbert with your Golden Black Radio Express post-commitment podcast in this situation, brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. I don't know if you're listening to this at night, in the morning, in the afternoon, so I don't know how to sign off. So just whatever time of day it might be when you're listening to this, wherever you may be, in your house, in your car, in the shower, at work, at a red light, whatever. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.